Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. The other host of this show is Brother Warren Feaster, and also sitting at the table with us tonight is Sister Mary Ann Williams, also known to all of you who have been listening to us before as Mama. So tonight we have a very interesting show for you tonight. And tonight's show is a continuation, if you will, of last week's show, but the Lord just put something on me, and I spoke this to Mama a few moments ago as we were getting ready for the show. Last week's show was getting a fresh financial start. That was what last week's show was about. And what the Lord spoke to me was, people don't need to hear again tonight about getting a fresh financial start. Mama, here's what I believe the Lord has spoken to me. He wants all of us out here that are listening to grab a hold to their fresh financial start. And so if you go on to the Facebook page, if you go on to the Blog Talk Radio page, you'll see that the show is Grab Hold to Your Fresh Financial Start. And that was intentional, because if you're not willing to grab a hold of it, me talking about it, Mama talking about it, Brother Feaster talking about it, Sister Adia talking about it, Shatara, and everybody else who sits down at this PRF table to try to minister to you and ministering to each other, it does nothing. It's kind of like the Bible, this holy book that we use as Christians. If the Bible stays on the kitchen table in the back seat of the car, on the coffee table, and it never gets opened and never gets read, how can you expect anything from on the page to come to life?
Right.
So again, tonight we are talking about grab hold to your fresh financial start. And Brother Feaster, if you're on with us, just jump in anytime. We know that you're on from Korea, and we are so happy to always have you whenever you can get on. So just interrupt us, and we'll be quiet for you, my brother. You're the only person I do in the world I do this for, except for my mama.
Well, I think I'm here. My connection is bad, but I'm here.
I got you. I think what I hear the feedback in the background, so I don't know if you can take care of that on your end, but just mute and unmute as you will, brother. That's all. We'll be good. So check this out. Last week, this is what we dealt with. Last week was real interesting, because we really came from one perspective, and that was about doing the same thing and getting the same results. So if you was with us last week, you heard us start off the show that way. And that was on my heart, because when we talk about getting a fresh financial start, if you're going to be consistent with doing the same thing, then you should be consistent in getting the same results. In that, you will never have a fresh financial start because you're doing the same things over and over and over again. And we are careful when we say that, not to belittle anybody, not to beat down anybody. We're just saying, if you are looking for a fresh financial start, then you can't do the same thing that you were doing, especially when you're getting the same results. See, it's a difference when you're trying different things and you still wind up getting the same result. Mama, that's a whole different story.
Yes.
If I go down two blocks and make a left and I wind up somehow on Fifth Street, and I go down two blocks and make a right and somehow I wind up on Fifth Street, nobody can really fault you too much, because you made two different distinct motions. You went to the left one day, you went to the right one day. Somehow, because you have a poor sense of direction, you may have gotten thrown off a little bit, right? But I can't fault you saying, well, you know what? Let's figure out what went wrong when you went to the left, what went wrong when you went to the right that caused you to be at the same point that still wasn't the best place for you to be.
Right.
And from there, what we went there from there, and we talked about this discussion, or we had the discussion about teaching. And I brought to us on here on the table those who are in ministerial leadership positions, we have to be the ones that say, okay, what am I providing to not my people, but to God's people? Also asking the question, what am I not providing to God's people? And the people who are sitting within the pews or within the ministry contexts that we have out here, you have to be the ones, and we have to be the ones sitting in that particular context as a receiver. We have to say, what are we receiving? And we also have to be willing to ask the question, what are we not receiving? And so we bottled that up and said, that whole thing that we're talking about all deals with an honest reflection. Each one of us, on whatever side of the fence that we sit on, have to be willing to ask the questions that I just mentioned to you a minute ago. And we have to have some honest reflection of it. Not, well, you know, I'm a good teacher. You know, I've been teaching for the last 20 years. I know the Bible. Ah, come on, y'all. That just may not be getting it, especially if you got 15 people under your tutelage that's saying, look, I'm not getting what you're teaching. One of the things, Mama, that I found out, when you got 15 people all saying the same thing about one, the common denominator is you. So what I want us to really be able to do tonight, as we just hit on a couple of points from last week and get ready to go into tonight's show, is really come with a mindset of dealing with, what do I need to do to kind of transform my thinking? And I like how last week a couple of the things that y'all were talking about. Shatara mentioned changing the mindset, right? Yeah. Mama, you mentioned turning around. People, you know, we have to be willing to turn around, or you have to turn around. And Brother Feaster, he talked about discipline. And all of those things point to Romans 12:1-2 for me. So here's the question. Here's the question from the steps that Shatara, Brother Feaster, and Mama brought to all of us here at the table last week. How do we move towards this? Is that not the central question that we really should be asking? Is that not the central question that I should be asking? If I'm willing to ask that question, y'all, I'm willing to bet you that you'll start thinking about things in a different way. Romans 12:1-2, my brothers and my sisters, I plead to you, give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is that too much to ask? So this whole thing about changing our mindsets, it's not just our brain. It's about changing whatever it is that we got going on that's preventing us from providing and giving ourselves wholly to God. I love when, in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So it all starts in the mind.
Yes.
It all starts in the mind. We're not talking about emotionalism. We're talking about the Spirit of God moving in people's lives so that they can make the necessary changes to get these fresh financial starts. Mama, do you have anything? And I think that, and anybody who's listening out there, if you want to join into the conversation, you can come in right now. You can hit us on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. We'll see your comments, and we'll bring them into the conversation if you can't get to a telephone. But I want to throw that out there for you, Mama, and Brother Feaster as well. Y'all mentioned some good things, and you know me. I don't like for us to just to gloss over things, but I think this is important. You know, I think this changing of the mind, I think this turning around, you know, you can throw repentance in there if you really wanted to. But that was not your comment, Mama, but that's just what came to me. And discipline. So what is something that you can give to the listeners today that answers this question? How do we move towards this? And I think that's the key, because, remember, we're talking about a start. How do we move towards those things that we talked about last week, changing the mind, the turning around, and having discipline in our lives so that we can get these fresh financial starts that either we need or the people around us need?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to say good evening to my family. And okay, to me, what I think is what I become. You know, the saying going, I may not know much, but when I'm giving it, you know, as I'm listening to the show and I'm giving this information, Now, I can ponder on this information, and if I want to change, and as you say, it is in the mind. So now, if I want to change and I want to have a successful financial, life, and I'm having the mindset poverty, which means that I'm not going to budget my money. I'm going to buy everything I think I want. Anything as a sale, I'm going to go to it. Okay. With that being said, then now I'm hearing what's being said on the show, and I'm saying, yes, I would like to be successful. I'd like to do some things, you know. I would like to have more money in my bank account and things of that nature. Well, then my thinking, I have to make a choice. I have to start thinking different. I have to say, it's just really what you said, is that if I don't choose the way I think, if I don't want to change my thinking, you know, if I come on the show and this sounds good and I just enjoy everything being said, but when the show is over, then it's also over in my mind because now, oops, I see that I want, and oops, I see that I want. Well, then I'm going to stay where I am because, it's, as you say, just the same thing, doing the same thing, thinking I'm going to get new results. So that means, as you're saying in Romans 12:1-2, I must transform my mind. I have to choose to think on the things that I have received, as when Mary received, you know, when she was going to be a mother. She pondered on those things in her mind. So I have to ponder on these things, and then I have to, and then if I don't quite understand it, get some help, and I have to start taking steps towards my goals, set some goals, and then I have to also, you know, say, okay, I have to be disciplined. I have to stay focused on this. You know, if I say I'm going to save $10, you know, a month, then I have to save $10 a month. And I have to stay focused on that no matter what. And so if I don't stay focused, in other words, it's disciplining myself, okay? And that's sacrifice when you're used to just doing whatever you want to do when you want to do it, you know. And it really is like shopping is really an addiction too. And so now if I want to break that addiction, I have to do something different. Therefore, it has to start in my mind, and I have to receive what I'm hearing. And then I have to act upon what I hear, and I have to be willing to make a change. It sounds good, and I'm doing it for about 3 months, and then it's over with. Then that means I'm not really consistent. I have to be consistent with what I do. You know, I have to be really serious about this. This is important to me, you know. And so if I don't choose to change my thought patterns, then I'm not going to go any further, you know. And this would be like cymbals and bells, you know. It'd just be a lot of noise to me because I'm not doing anything with what I've received.
I was listening to you, Mama, and I was really echoing everything you just said. I'm sitting here writing my little notes down. I'm like, man, let me scratch that off, because you're really saying everything that I want to say. So I'm just going to say that the two things that stood out for me in what you said was commitment and discipline. You know, it does start with a changed mind. It starts with a renewed mind. It starts with me making up my mind, because once I make up my mind, then I'm going to react. One of my favorite parables is the prodigal son. You know, when he was big and bold and he went to his father, and his father was nice enough to give him his inheritance, and then he went out and spent it all and took a job that was demeaning to Jewish people. My favorite part of that is when he says, and he came to himself. You know, as long as he was working, he was fine. I mean, he was upset. He was hungry. He was disgusted. But everything was fine. He kept going back to work every day. But it wasn't until the Bible says that the prodigal son came to himself. He made up his mind. He changed his mind. And then after that, he acted. Then he decided that he's going to go home. And even if he's got to live like a hired servant, you know, that's better than the mess that he's living right now. And he not only did he change his mindset, you know, he acted on it because he actually got up and went home. So, you know, in that is in that mindset is commitment and discipline. The commitment part is what's going to push me through and push me to. You know, on the road of life, everybody think it's just a straight highway. No, there are detours, there are dirt roads, there are construction, there is dead ends, there's turnarounds, there's getting lost, and those are the discouraging times. Those are what are we doing, why are we doing this for? But it's that commitment that's going to keep us going. It's going, you know, looking at the finish line, the author and finisher of my faith, looking at the end of this, then that's going to push me through, continually keeping the finish line in my goal, in my sight, in my vision, regardless if it's 100 miles away or 3 meters away. And then the discipline part, I believe that is the very difficult part, because when you talk about discipline and me being in the Army, that's one of the biggest things that we're on in the Army is discipline. When we talk about discipline, we're really talking about, you know, you look at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers. No matter what the weather is, hot, cold, rainy, sunny, windy, they're out there. And there is no gesture in their face. There is no body movement. There's nothing to say that they're affected by the weather, when, in fact, we know that they are human, and they are. And the reason why is the discipline. They know that this is what I have to do right now, and because of that, nothing else needs to deter me away from what I'm doing. You know, I like to use the example, when we're late for work, nothing stops us from getting to work as soon as we get there. Traffic doesn't stop us, weather doesn't stop us, not even finding our keys will stop us, but we will do everything that we can to get to work. Even though we're late, we're going to do everything we can so we won't be too late to work. And that's where we show that we have that discipline that we so desire to have in a situation like that. And sometimes it's just a matter of refocusing where our focus is. And Mama, you said something, you didn't say it like this, but I heard prioritize. Where is it on our priority list? Where is it? Is it high? Is it low? Is it medium? Is it something that we really desire? You know, sometimes you really have to ask yourself those real gut-wrenching questions. Is this something that I really want? Do I want to give up this? Do I want to give up that? Am I willing to do this? Am I willing to do that? How much do I want? How far am I willing to go? You know, until we get past those questions, we're going to always hit those questions and be forced to deal with those questions. And just looking at them is not the answer. You have to answer those gut-wrenching questions. That's the only way a change is going to happen. You know, if you look at Alcoholics Anonymous, one of the first things they make you admit to is that you're an alcoholic. And sometimes that's the hardest thing, admitting you're an alcoholic, admitting you're a liar, admitting you're a cheater, admitting all these things. Sometimes it's that hard. So it takes that discipline. It takes that commitment that if you want to make that change, that, JR, you said it, and it's something that I say all the time, you can't do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. It's not going to happen. It's really not. It's really not. And so that's what I was hearing. That's what I'm thinking. That commitment and that discipline is vital in starting over.
And one thing I would like to add to what you were saying, when you said accountability, if I accept that I really have a problem with spending, you know, and really accept that and really want to change that. So first I can want the success, but I have to first accept that I have a problem. And once I accept I have a problem, then as you've already said, what am I willing to do about it? That's all.
Okay, so I'm going to press us right now. I'm going to press us because I think it's needed. Brother Feaster, Mama,
yeah.
Y'all have given some really good church answers. Really good church answers. And I was listening intently. Make a choice. Get help. Set some goals. Stay focused. Sacrifice. Change a thought pattern. Be committed. Have discipline. Brother Feast, I'm going to go ahead and mute yourself on that on your end for me, bro, unless you can't hear me.
Okay.
Those are a lot of the, what I'll call a lot of the reasons behind why so many people are still in some of their same situations when it comes to being in a financial, some of these financial challenges. And let me go deeper to really what I'm getting at.
Okay.
How often do we hear do this or do that? Very often. Just think about your experience at church on Sunday. I can pretty much guarantee there was at least one thing that you were told you had to do. You was probably told if you go to, you know, I don't like generalizing, but you may have been told, I could say it where I've been, that you must be born again. You got to do certain things. Things have to be a certain way. Your life is not going to be good. Just come over to this spot. So what I'm looking at and what I'm trying to get to is this. Although we can tell people these are the things that they need to do, it still comes back to the question that really hasn't been answered. How do we move towards this? Your responses that you have provided to us are good responses for the initial phase. Hey, if you want something, you want to change, but how do we get to that? When somebody comes up to us and says, look, I want a fresh financial start. I'm ready to grab hold to my financial start. I'm ready to do this. Can we just tell them, well, just got to stay focused. Well, you got to stay disciplined. And Brother Feaster, when you were talking, I said, let me look up this word discipline, because I think it's relevant. Discipline is the practice of training that people to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment to correct disobedience. So we're really not trying to punish folk for trying to have a fresh financial start. But the other definition of discipline is a branch of knowledge, typically one studied in higher education. So I tend to go to the place of, in order for us to be disciplined, as Brother Feaster said, and as he talked about the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, they had to practice that. Nobody went up to their commanding officer and said, I want to do that. And then they gave them a rifle and they gave them a uniform and they told them, you go ahead and march these paces up and you march these paces back until you are properly relieved. There had to have been some practice in it. So that's one of the things that I think, even though, yes, I believe you're 100% right when you said we have to be disciplined, but how do we get people to understanding is my thought process right now. How do we get people to understand where they are? Not just tell them what they need to do. Because when you tell me what I need to do, that doesn't mean that there's going to be a change inside. Oh, y'all work with me tonight. If you keep telling me I need to be saved, I may tell you that I'm saved. If you tell me I need to get a job, I may just go out there and get a job. But that doesn't mean I'm going to go to work on time. That doesn't mean I'm going to value that. So I want us to try to go deeper for the individuals who are out there who probably already heard, look, you ain't disciplined enough. You're spending your money in the wrong places. You're not doing right by your money. But go ahead, Buffy. Go ahead, bro. You know, we're just going to get in it tonight.
Yeah, I still stand by, you know, the way Mama started. I mean, some people want to change verbally, but not physically. I still believe it starts there. I mean, go back to the Bible one more time. The rich young ruler came up to Jesus and said, how do I inherit the kingdom of God? How do I get to heaven? How do I get where, you know, you're telling me we should be? And he inquired to Jesus about the life that Jesus was ministering about. And then God, Jesus said, hey, you know the Ten Commandments, do them. And he said, I've been doing this since my youth. He looked and said, hey, well, then you need to sell your possessions. And the rich young ruler said, I can't sell my possessions. And he walked away. A lot of times, just because we're inquiring, that does not mean that we want to know. There's godly repentance, and then there's worldly repentance. Worldly repentance is I've gotten to a point to where I know I need to make a change, and I ain't quite ready to make that change yet. But when you do a godly repentance, like they say back, we don't say it too much nowadays, but, you know, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's when it starts. And then after that, you know, if Adia was on, she'd be preaching, talking about, you know, you got to get that education. You got to get that knowledge. You got to go find where you got to get this information from. You know, you got to start asking questions. You got to start looking. You got to start researching. You know, you got to start going and talking to people. So for me, it starts with a made up mind. Then after that, that's when you're going to have that. That's when all that other stuff is going to kick in. That's when the commitment is going to start. That's when the sacrifice is going to start. That's when the discipline is going to start. That's when you're going to start. Because when I got to that point, and I got to the point, I got sick and tired of going into the store and couldn't even afford like a pack of gum or, you know, a meal to eat or something like that. Then that's when I made up my mind, I'm getting tired of living like this. That's when I went, and then literally I went to the bank and sat down and talked to the financial advisor and didn't even have enough money in my account to even be talking to them. You know, so
okay.
For me, it still starts with the made-up mind.
And I agree with that, too. I agree with that, too, because when I, you know, before I didn't get saved until I was 40, and so it just seemed like my life wasn't going right, and I'd heard, you know, I had friends that were saved, although I didn't understand salvation, but they were asking me to go to church and everything. And then when I did, you know, it just seemed like, and it wasn't a money issue, it just seemed like I just didn't have any peace in my life. And I just said, you know, God, I said, God, I know it has to be a better way than this. And so I said, I'm going to church because they've been inviting me to go to church. And when I went to church, see, that's when, you know, I didn't get my life to the Lord right away, but I kept going. And after a while, you know, it's just when they made that all, I just moved on out. And I said it, God, you know, I know it has to be a better way than this. And then what came into my mind was some of the sisters have been saying to me, you know, come to church with me. And so once I made up my mind that I didn't want to live the way I was living, that's when something happened. So first we have to want a change in our lives, you know, and God knows in our heart where we really want to change. Because I didn't know anything about, you know, never read the Bible in my life or anything like that, but because of what I heard with the others, and I just know that their lives seemed to be going pretty good, and, you know, and I'm the one that had the money. And they didn't have much as I had, but they were still peaceful. So by me being around them, and I'm not peaceful, and I had no reason not to be peaceful, you know, I can't put my hands on it. I just wasn't peaceful. Then I just say, God, I know it has to be another way. I know it has to be a better life than this. See, because I wanted something different. I didn't understand salvation, but I saw them. And so I say, it has to be something to it. Let me go see. So it's just like what you said, you know. You know, if you want it, you go after it. Yeah, I didn't know what I was really going after, but I knew that theirs was seeming to be better than their lives were better than what I had, and although they had their trials and tribulations. But they would go through their trials and tribulations. You know what I'm saying? And I still have a peaceful life. Well, mine just almost, my gosh, I just be nervous all the time, you know? So once I made that, you know, you have to want it. You know, how much do you want it? You know? And no, I didn't know anything, but I knew somebody that did. My girlfriends have been telling me to come to church. So you don't, a lot of times you don't understand at all. But if you have a willing heart, God will help you, even in your ignorance. Amen.
Amen. Y'all just ain't gonna let me. Y'all just gonna keep it there. So I'm gonna move on. And notice, and I said move on because really, what I'm trying to pull some stuff out of y'all, and I know it's in there. And
okay.
One of the things about it, the question that I asked was, how do we move towards this. And again, things like changing our thought pattern or somebody changing their thought pattern, stay focused. Look, when somebody's sitting there and they can't pay their bills, telling them to change their thought pattern ain't going to cut it. Because it may not be, and I want us to really think about this. A lot of the responses that I've heard so far was as if somebody's doing the wrong thing. Our approach, my brothers and sisters, cannot be with the mindset that somebody has done the wrong thing. If we approach it, then we're dealing with it from that definition of discipline, the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior using punishment to correct disobedience. There are a lot of people that are within our communities right now. I can say about my community that was laid off at the base. They didn't do anything wrong. So the approaches that we use to people can't be from the perspective of they did something wrong. Yes, we can say, well, maybe they didn't have any savings, but there may have been some other things that prevented them from not having the savings. So I want us to just think about if we can get people to the point, and we can get to the point where we're able or willing to be able to say, let me find out what's going on with the person first. Because as soon as you make that prejudgment statement, not saying that you necessarily did, Mama Fista, but as soon as we come at somebody as if they have not been making the right decisions, I think y'all have heard me say this before. There's a lot of people, Brother Fista, you can come on, jump on in. A lot of people are in situations not because of what they did, but because of what other people did. But yet, both of those people are still sitting at the food bank because both of them need food. So we can't treat everybody as if everybody who's in the same situation is there because of the same reasons. We have to go deeper than that, because the person who lost their job may be a good goal setter. So my approach can't be, well, I need to tell that person, you need to set some goals for yourself because you broke. Bro Fisa, go ahead, bro.
Well, I think I hear what you're saying, and I'm still going to stand to my guns, but I'm gonna add something to it. Because honestly, I didn't think about it from that. I didn't think about it from the perspective that you're trying to push us to, which you're known for doing. But so again, I kind of mentioned it when I said it last time. When I got to the point to where I needed to make a change, one of the first places I went was to a financial advisor. I went to the bank that I had money in and went in and talked to the financial advisor and really found out, you know, what do I need to do? What are my options? Because at that time, all I knew was I see, I want, I buy. It didn't matter if I had the money or not. I see, I want, I buy. So I had to find out, how do I do something different? So I literally went into the bank one day. I think I was cashing my check back in the day when you used to get a check and cash it. And I got out of line once I got my money, and I went in and I talked to the lady. And I was like, I'm looking to make a fresh start. I'm looking to do something different. I'm trying to save money. I never was taught. I don't know how. And she sat down and introduced some things to me, and you know, she asked me how much money I had, and that was a short conversation, but she just told me what were my options, what was available. And at that time, this was during the time when mutual funds was being birthed, and I just couldn't grasp what a mutual fund was. But also, this was a time that CDs were getting big, and people were really getting into CDs. And I don't know if it's changed since, but back then, when I was looking at it, you had to start off with $1,000. Well, I barely had $100. She said that there was this bank had a particular program that for 1 year they would pull out, like you set up like an allotment, and they pull out X amount of dollars for that 1 year. And then if you can reach it, and I think it was designed to get you to $1,000 or whatever you was able to give, that would be your CD, and it would roll like a CD. And I ended up doing that. I ended up doing that and getting started and just getting the discipline to begin to change my ways and set aside money and everything. And honestly, it was something that I had never heard of. Nobody ever told me about it or anything, but it was something that got me started. So if I'm hearing you right, JR, for me, it was going to see a financial advisor and getting the information and the knowledge that I did not know so that I can make the change I want to make.
Bruh, it seems like we lost you, but there was a show that you say, "By George, I think he's got it. By George, I think people's got it." See, Mama, you touched on it. Mama, you touched on it. The thing that you said was get help, right? And so what I was pressing y'all to do is to bring out what Brother Fisa just brought out. He said, "I went to somebody." See, if you tell somebody to get help and you don't direct them, think about it. Some people need direction. That's that moving towards this that I was talking about. Some people need to know, hey, I got a friend that deals with personal financial management. Hey, let's go see Brother Dunlap. Or let's go to this place. Sometimes we have to be willing, and I think a lot of times, we have to be so willing as believers and brothers and sisters to take individuals by the hand and lead them to the place where they need to be. Because when I just tell somebody, well, just go ahead and get you some help. Go out there and find somebody. There's plenty of places out there. When I just tell them that, what if they've already done it and they're in no better place than where they were before, right?
Right.
So now being able to say, like Brother Fisher said, look, I'm putting my money into this bank every month and some stuff ain't going right. Y'all got some folk here. Help me out. That goes one step beyond getting help. That goes to the point of going to a certain place where you know that they can give you the help. Go ahead, Mama.
Okay, and what I was going to say is that when I was, giving those, talking about the discipline, the focus, and things of that nature, I was going back to the church when I was around the young ladies. They never told me, disciplined me or anything about my lifestyle. They never did, you know. They would just invite me to come to church, you know what I mean? And because we would talk about what we're doing at night, and I'll tell them what I'm doing, and they would say, why don't you come to church? You know what I mean? I said, oh, I don't know, I'll come sometime. And that's all they ever did. Now, their approach was love, because they never criticized me about anything I did. But I just knew that something, I knew that it was something better. I wanted to have a better life. And it seemed like they had a better life. You know what I mean? And so I just, say God, said what I had said. And then just seemed like, and then I wanted to go because I was seeking a better life. But their approach to me, that they never criticized me. You know, they never said, well, you shouldn't be going to no nightclub, or you shouldn't be doing this, and they never did. They would just, invite me to go to church. And so their approach was really, and I didn't know, like I said, I didn't know anything about salvation or anything, but they could see that I could have a better lifestyle, obviously. And so they would just invite me to church, and it wasn't all the time, it was just periodically. You know what I mean? So that's the approach that they used. And, I'm talking about different girlfriends of mine with Jews, And so that approach, when you were saying that, we can't, go out and tell people what they need to do, because people don't like to be told what they need to do. And people a lot of times know what they need to do. You know what I'm saying? They know what they need to do, but when we come telling them what they need to do, it's like the love of God. It's the love that you show somebody, and maybe they'll want what you got. You know what I mean? People don't want to be preached to or anything, People are hurting, and people want someone, just show me some love. Just accept me for who I am. And I think when I know that this is why I am now in the Lord, because they accepted me for who I was. You know, they didn't say, okay, I can't talk to her and be with her because she's an unbeliever. Or, you know, she goes to nightclubs and things and I don't, you know, and she may contaminate me, you know. No, they just accepted me for who I was. But they
well, Mama, let me,
know, they,
let me ask a question. But the time, this is, and what I'm about to say is a real life situation about where a lot of people are in our own circles. You was broke during that time, or did you have money?
No, I had money. You know, I was working for AT&T, and I was putting a lot of hours, so I had money. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, I just had it was I was not peaceful, and just being around them. And I wasn't around them all, I mean, at the job. I swear, the only time I was around them was at work. And I could just tell the ones that I didn't understand, but I called them different. I just say they're different. Because they just seemed to be peaceful. They just came into their work. They smiled. They didn't get into a lot of nonsense and no job and things, you know. It just seemed like I could just see they just seemed to be happy. Because at the time, that's how I looked at it. They just seemed to be happy.
I got you. I got it and I respect it. But that's not what we're really talking about, though.
Okay.
They are inviting you. See, you got people that will that we know are going through certain situations in their lives.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about getting a fresh financial start for those who are just jumping
okay.
in.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So those individuals, they need a fresh financial start. Telling somebody just to come to church because they're going to love on them and help them to feel good, it doesn't get them out of that financial situation.
Okay.
That still has to be dealt with.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people that have come into my church and other churches that I've been a part of because they've been going through financial problems and they hear that the church is supposed to be a hospital. And so if the church is supposed to be a hospital, then that's a place where you're supposed to be able to come to get some type of healing or to get some type of medicine to stop the bleeding. And if that ain't doggone happening, then something is wrong with the hospital. They need to put the chains on the door like Joe Clark did and Lean on Me. So I still bring it back to when that type of thing is going on, we have to get away from allowing certain things to happen and just trying to get people just to come into the church. The reality is, yes, you had money, but they weren't dealing with your financial lifestyle. They were dealing with you in your regular lifestyle because you had money. But what about the person? Still the same situation. The people that are around them, they're going through these financial things. And some of the you have people that are not going to open up and tell you that they're going through financial problems. So what is there to help them move towards those particular things? So, like I said, Brother Feaster, even though he was cutting in and out, I did give him a clap, and that only happened because of what you brought out about getting help, Mama. Let us go to the focus question for tonight. What old thing has to be given up? If we're talking about grabbing a hold to your fresh financial start, is there something in your life that is an old thing that is preventing that newness that needs to come into your life? I'm going past salvation, so we can shave off 15 minutes off of that. Because you know you've heard me say, you're saved, now what? I'm going past that.
Okay.
And for some, that may not be the answer right now. But that's what I want us to talk about. And if you're on the line and you want to jump in, I want to hear other people's thoughts as well. And let me go to, there's a couple of scriptures. One is in Mark chapter 2, verse 22, and the other one is in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. And this is what it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. No one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. I understand for all of you biblical scholars out there that last verse, the verse that I just read, was part of a context where Jesus was talking about fasting. And I know that it was talking about the bride and the bridegroom and why did it need to fast while he was with them, but when he left them, after he left them, then they were going to need to fast. I got it. But that verse is so critical, as I just read to y'all, because if I'm doing whatever I'm doing, if my situation is the way it is, and I'm trying to bring something new in there, I need to get out some of that old stuff. If some of that old stuff is part of the reason why I'm in my situation, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If now let's go to what you were talking about. One of y'all were talking about credit. So if credit is the problem, or if spending is the problem, I think that's what I heard. So if the person is spending money and they don't realize that they're spending money where it's really hurting them, or they can't control themselves, or they impulse buy, whatever the case may be, if they continue to do that, why can they have the expectation that God is going to bless them with more so they can continue to do the same thing?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, y'all don't get quiet on me now. I think it has to be some simple type of responses. And the only way you're going to know if it's old wineskins that you're trying to put new wine in is try to get some type of relationship with the individual that you're dealing with. See, there are no, what I found in teaching in this area for all these years, there are no cookie cutter answers. There are programs out there that have cookie cutter answers that are only going to get you but so far. But it's not like PRF where we're going to deal with what's the root cause, what's going on with why you spend like that. I'd never forget growing up. We didn't have too much at several periods of our lives in my household. And I remember Rocky introduced me to Häagen-Dazs ice cream when I was like 14. And for those of you who understand what Häagen-Dazs ice cream, a pint is like $5. And that was expensive ice cream to me. Let my wife tell it, that's expensive ice cream today. But I only got a small taste of it back then. But when I got a job, when I went into the Army, had my own money, I bought that Häagen-Dazs. I like that finer thing. But if I had other things in my life going on where I was living from paycheck to paycheck, I had a choice to make. I can continue to want to spend $5 for a pint of ice cream two nights a week. Or I can do something different with that money, like go to the grocery store and buy one. What is it, a gallon for $5. So it does go back to the choices, but I'm interested with individuals really asking that question. What is it that I have right now that is preventing me from getting that new thing?
Well, in order to...
Gerald,
go ahead.
What we had a discussion a while back, a couple months ago, before I even came to Korea, and we was talking about, I don't even remember the subject or anything, but we was talking about using what we have initially. We was talking about using what we have initially, because a lot of times it's, you know, what are the resources that we have? What is the availability that we have? You know, I'm trying to formulate what I'm trying to say. It's in my head, but it ain't getting out of my mouth. But a lot of times it's taking a look at where we are and seeing what we have, and then could start from there. For example, there are people that, like my mom, she likes to sew. And so for her, a resource of a financial change could be, you know, sewing some stuff and selling some stuff. You know, I think sometimes it's, and I hear what I believe you're trying to say is, what's the simplicity of it? You know, we've gave some very complex answers, and, you know, it's all good and fine, and on the long end, yeah, but right now I need a change. Right now I want a change. Right now
right.
I'm at that change. I'm at that mindset and everything. So what do I do, you know, to get that change? And I think the easy way is to stop, do a self-assessment, and find out where you are, and then you can go from there. Find out what do you have that you can use. Like for my example, I literally walked into the bank and talked to one of the financial advisors. That's what the change was for me. That's where I went. That's when I got out, and that's when I realized I was putting new wine in old wineskins, because I had no knowledge. I mean, there was nothing to tell me what I was doing was wrong. I just knew I was doing something wrong. So for me, it was somebody showing me, hey, dude, you know these old wineskins you're putting this wine in. You know what you're doing is still doing the same thing over and over again. Only thing you did, so even in your example, JR, as I use it since you brought it out, you went from buying a pint of ice cream for $5 as opposed to, and then you switched to buying a gallon. Well, you're still buying ice cream and still spending $5. And that's what I was doing. I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll just get this brand versus this brand. But come to find out, for me, when I went and talked to the financial advisor, it wasn't the type of ice cream. It wasn't even the amount of ice cream. It was the ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Until somebody revealed that to me, that's when I realized, okay, I got it. This is what I'm doing to lead me in that direction. And now I need to stop with the ice cream, get the ice cream at a later time. And so that's what I'm saying. I think I expressed it. Y'all get that?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Mama.
No, I was just responding to him. He said, did I get that? And I told him, yes.
And even when we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 17, it's talking about the same thing, old wine and new wine and old wineskins. And let me ask everybody just to look at themselves as a whole. So, for example, if I'm the old wineskins, the new knowledge, the new wisdom, the new money, the new promotion, the new blessings. If I'm raggedy, if I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing, if I'm ignorant, and I'm talking about knowledge, if I'm ignorant of certain things, I can get new things poured into me that can mess me up. Mama, you've been around long enough to know. You've seen people come and go in church.
Yeah.
And somebody got saved today, and within a month, they are a biblical scholar.
Yeah.
And mess some folk up and mess themselves up because they got a whole bunch of new wine into that old wineskin.
That's good.
It's not so much that they're bad people or I was a bad person, you or anybody. But there's some things that we have to be willing to get out of ourselves in order to make room for the good things that God is trying to put in us.
Right.
I've told a story before to some. When I went over to across the waters, I made a bunch of pretty good money. I was dealing with, the Lord was dealing with me, and I would say I was in a new wineskin type of mentality. But if it was about 3 years prior to that, and I went over there, and I made that type of money, I guarantee you, this old wineskins would have burst into a million pieces because I would have had more money than I've ever seen in my life at one time. And I would have done some things that I know would not have been pleasing to God, that would not have been a benefit to myself, wouldn't have been beneficial to my family. So God knows sometimes that he has to wait. And we have to wait until certain periods where we are, some of that old stuff is out of us so that he can shower and put on all that new stuff that he wants to put inside of us. And again, I'm still dealing with this fresh financial start. But Afista, you said it well. You talked about evaluate. That's why I said I didn't want to do a part two tonight because I knew some of the things we're going to say was going to come from last week, but they're still relevant. I'm hoping that everybody who's listening are listening from the perspective that it's not about beating anybody down. It's really trying to get individuals to think. Now, my challenge is, as I go to the caller 2023, the challenge is once we guide somebody to that certain place, we have to be prepared as a body to receive the next level or the next phase of where they are in their life. So, Chitara, welcome to the PIF table.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
So So I definitely wanted to chime in. I definitely see where you're going with the not making it like a punitive thing or a discipline thing or a lecturing thing when you're trying to provide that, I'm going to say vision to the to plant the seed into the other individual. However, I agree. It should not be from a discipline standpoint. The individual has to first acknowledge that they're someplace that they don't want to be. They have to want to be in the new mindset, and then be teachable, willing to receive that information. I think perspective will turn what we're saying is discipline in one situation into valuable information or a bridge to another situation or another person. So mm-hmm. it's kind of perspective. It depends on motivation factor. So someone may, you know, they're like, I'm getting by, it's okay, and you're trying to teach them or help them get to a new place, and they see it as discipline. But the motivated person may, if they see you like, I can't remember who said it, but someone said, it was your mom. So she said, everybody seemed happy. And she knew there was something different about them. So the motivated person who's sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they see something in somebody, they'll be open to receive what they're saying. So how do you get them to the new mindset? I think you do have to be aware of where they are, where their motivation is, like what motivation level they're at, because it can be perceived as discipline. Even if it's not intended as discipline, it can be perceived as discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But to be readily available for the individual that's motivated to make the change. And you may have to plant little seeds, like your mom said. Plant little
That's
seeds
right.
just here and there. No pressure, but just plant seeds. If something comes up in the conversation, you're like, oh, I just went on a vacation. And like people say to me, you're always on a vacation, which is not true, which is not true. Hint, hint, I'm not pointing any fingers, but that's an opportunity for me to open a door for somebody who, you know, I know may not be as financially sound as they want to be. And I can explain to them, well, how you can get a cheap vacation. So every conversation is a potential opportunity to plant a seed.
That's
to get the person to that place, we just have to be ready. So when that door cracks and you have that window opportunity that you're leaning against the door so that when it cracks open, you fall right in, you can just go ahead and start the conversation.
That's right.
So if you plant the seeds, I think at some point they'll come to you asking. So tell me, you know, you're always on vacation, or you got a car, this type of car, or you have that type of apartment, or you always have on nice shoes, whatever it may be. Use that as an opportunity to plant the seed, especially if you know that person doesn't know that they don't know the right, you know, the right approach. So the person who excessively spends or impulsively spends and may not realize that that's not going to get them where they want to be. So they impulsively spend it and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to retire when I'm 30. No, not like that. So just be ready. I think that's one of the ways that we can get somebody to the new mindset, the new way of thinking.
I like that. And one of the things about PRF doesn't try to help them to get to XYZ place, right? But rather, PRF
right.
tries to help them to see that XYZ is the place that they need to be.
Right.
And that's why I press us like I do on the PRF table and when I'm having workshops, seminars, preaching, whatever. Because if it's about my way, then I own it. if you see it as this is what you need for you, then you own it. I'm just, and Brother Feaster brought something out, and I'm going to incorporate it in the PRF. Don't know when, but I can't see not incorporating it in the PRF. He talked about the coach accountability partner and the cheerleader, which, to me, Satara, it goes in line with what you just said. That cheerleader may be planting the seed today. The accountability partner may be planting the seed tomorrow. The coach may be planting the seed the next day. Or coach may be planting the seed for 3 days. Three different seeds, and then here comes the accountability partner. Well, look, you done got three things from the coach. When are you going to do something with it? You know, it all boils down. I thought about the number three, Brother Free says. He was talking last week. And number three, biblical numerology, number three means completeness. So that means that I can't do it by myself. Yes, we can be very theological. We can be very spiritual and talk about the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We can do that. However, at the same time, we still need people, the brothers and sisters that are down here, we need those people to be able to say, hey, nah, bro, that's not working. Nah, sis, that's not working. You may want to try it this way, because all of us are not always in the place where we are connected to God, where we're always able to hear from God.
Right.
That's why we got parents. That's why we got ministers. That's why we got pastors. That's why we got children. That's why we got brothers and sisters, because we're all in this thing together. And so when I thought about the title for tonight's show, Grab Hold to Your Fresh Financial Start, it's not about what you got to do by yourself. It's what we got to do collectively. Brother Feaster talked about something collectively. I can't remember where it was, but, you know, and you all know 2 Kings about Elisha and the widow woman. So I want us, for me, I really want us to get it. I want us to get it here at the PRF table. I want those of you who are listening to get it. It is not about you doing what you need to do for me. It's about what you need to do for yourself. For Brother Feaster, like Brother Feaster said, he realized, you know, he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. For that single mother who is out there that is struggling financially. Same thing. But once somebody makes up their mind to say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, then there's going to have to be somebody. There's going to have to be a coach, a cheerleader, or accountability partner that's there as well. Because when people go back and revert back to, I feel like I'm all alone in this mess, then people make decisions. I almost filed for bankruptcy a little over 10 years ago because I felt like I was all alone in this mess. And I was going to church faithfully. Young brother at our church left the church for a couple of years, came back and talked about how much he was in debt with credit. And he said, how come y'all ain't told me about this? One person in church said, you should know that you was grown. But I sympathized with that brother. I said, you know what? He didn't have the knowledge to know that it was going to catch up and do like it did with him. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. Brother Feaster, I think Brother Feaster is trying to get his technical difficulties taken. So,
I'm still here.
Go ahead, bro.
I think this is a great information to a great start, because a lot of times it's, you know, we know what we want to do, just don't know what we want to do. So you kind of opened my eyes up when you mentioned, you know, we're looking at it from a person's perspective who is always doing something wrong. What about the person that's not doing anything wrong? Like you mentioned, people that just got laid off, they didn't do anything wrong. Well, the business flopped, or there was a change in leadership, or whatever the case may be. And now they're faced with life. So how do we deal with the people that are faced with life? And, JR, you hadn't said it in a while, or either I hadn't heard it in a while, because I've been, you know, MIA for a while. But you always said that you got to have the courage to care. You got to have the courage to care. And for me, that has gone a long way, because I remember talking to this lady, and she was like, it's easy to send money. it's easy for me to send money. But in most cases, money is not the answer. I remember listening to this. I was at this church, and they sponsored this orphanage overseas where there's a whole lot of sex trafficking, and, you know, the girls get caught up, and they get put on drugs and all this stuff. And she said that, you know, she was testifying how, you know, how she ended up getting involved with the organization. And she was always hearing people say, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you. And she would ask the question, who is Jesus and what is love? And that hit me because I can relate to the who is Jesus part. That's the easy part. I can relate to that. I can tell you about Jesus. But when she said she had no idea what love was, that hit me because it told me in the Bible, we spend a lot of times preaching Jesus, preaching Jesus, preaching Jesus, but we're doing very little of showing Jesus. You know, the Bible says they'll know that we're Christians by our love. Are we displaying, showing love? So a lot of times we'll know, but we just don't know what we, I mean, there's knowns and there's unknowns, so you don't know what you don't know. And so trying to get out of that way, because I fell into a situation, I was born into this, or I ended up moving into this, or it just happened. Now what do I do? So I really want to thank you for that, because it's not just the people that are looking for a fresh start that are financially stumped. It could be a millionaire looking for a fresh start. They might want to make that million and a half or that 2 million. So why are we going to shun them? And the first thing come out of our mouth is, you already got enough money. So, but I thank you for that, JR, and those are my closing comments because this app is getting on my nerves today.
All right, brother. Mama, go ahead and give the listening audience your final comments for tonight.
Okay. What was on my mind is that, you know, once the person accepts us in their life to help us, I'll just talk from my point. When someone accepts me and say, yes, you know, I'm really interested in you know, getting a new financial start, then one of the things is that I have to show them that I love them and get them to like me. And they have to feel comfortable around me, and they have to know that I'm not judging them, you know, because of the level that they are at. And because, see, God said love, it's the love of God that draws all men to him. So when a person feels like they'll love, they'll open up to you. And then I have to make sure that I meet that person at their level. You know what I mean? Spoon feed them. Listen to what they, let them have something to say too. So I do all the talking, you know. Make sure that they understand clearly what I am saying. And then just have patience with them, you know. It's long-suffering. Love is long-suffering. And sometimes some people can pick up things real quick and fast. And then other times you may have to go over that same thing with that person 10 times. But if I say I love that person and I want to help this, and I want to help this person, you know, to be successful, you know, in this new financial start, it's going to be some long-suffering, which is having that patience with that person, you know, and not dominate that person. You know what I mean? And, you know, and have to speak with them in an even tone of voice, because I know I'm loud. You know, I'm loud, you know. But I know that I have to be calm and quiet, you know, with them. So we have to just really evaluate ourselves, and I evaluate myself and see why I'm doing what I'm doing. And then and it has to be about them and not me.
All right. And Shatara, we'll let you go ahead and jump on in there since you have been, I think we may have lost Shatara, but if she comes back, we'll let her come in. You know, one of the things I want to just let y'all know, y'all are an amazing group of people here on the PRF table, and I hope and pray that others are able to see the value that everybody in our own individual way brings to this table. I put out the question, how do we move towards this? How do we help people move towards this changing of the mind, this turning around, this discipline? And I think since we're at the end of the show now, I think that we've been able to do that. I think we've been able to show people or communicate to people get help, right? But not just get help. Here's how I got help. So here's how you can also get help as well. I went to see a financial advisor. That's Brother Feaster. And Deshatar talked about planting the seed. Mama just talked about having long suffering. Notice the question that I asked. I just want to let everybody hear this. How do we help people to move towards this? It's often not about what they got to do. A lot of times it's about what we got to do. Long suffering, that's what we're doing. Planting the seed, that's what we're doing. Telling them about how you got help and where they can actually get help. That's what you did. That's what you can do. So I'm just elated. Not because we have just a great group of men and women that come in and jump on this PRF table every Thursday night at 8 p.m., but because we really have concern about what's going on in our own individual families, in our own individual lives, in our own communities, but also, more importantly, what's going on in the community of those of you, our listeners, who are out there. So Shatara, I think Shatara is back with us, and we're going to let her bring the last comment in. So I'm going to just say this. We thank y'all. Come join us again every week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We would love to have you here on the PRF table. And also, you can follow us on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. And we want more people to join into the conversation. One of the things that's coming up is, Brother Feaster, you know this very well. We're coming into November, and November has something called Black Friday. So you can imagine what we're going to be getting ready to do here at the PRF table. We are definitely going to be communicating with individuals how to help them not get themselves into certain financial situations. And at the same time, as we try to help individuals not get themselves into certain financial situations by trying to, as Brother Feaster would say, keeping up with the Joneses, buying this and buying that, we also want to help people to not make some of those mistakes, not make some of those judgments so that they can help people, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going through, because it happens every year during the holidays. So we want to be a blessing to others, and we also want to bless ourselves. So Shatara, we're going to let you just go ahead and take us out tonight.
Okay. I just wanted to have some technical difficulties, but I just wanted to reiterate something that you said it on the previous call, as well as Brother Feaster on this call, is that it does not have to be somebody that's financially strapped that wants the financial start.
Right.
A new financial start. And that is something that I have to, you know, keep reminding myself, because the need is so great for the financial start, because there is such a, at least in my immediate environment, because of the lack of knowledge. So we talked about this on previous calls that, you know, certain things are not taught in certain segments of the population, so investment and that type of thing. So I personally have to keep reminding myself that anybody can want a new financial start. But I still think the key is to inspire the people. So show them that it is possible and inspire them to make the change for themselves, like you keep saying. And I when I say show them, I mean to show them how it can be better for them, but not forcing it on them necessarily or shoving it down their throat, but show them and inspire them to want to make the change too. Because we may see the need for change, but unless they embrace the need for change for themselves, then they can't execute. Even if they do it temporarily, they do it right now for whatever reason, if they're doing it because you're forcing it down the throat, they won't be able to sustain it unless they own it. And that's something that you mentioned before. So just to bring all of that together, there are various reasons that someone can need a new financial start. And, you know, for me, my part in assisting them to get that is I feel like I have to focus on inspiring them to do it by planting those seeds and showing them that there are other ways. And, you know, you don't have to live in the cycles that you may be in, whether it is a rich person that's making money in a way that they are not happy with. or if it's someone who's living paycheck to paycheck. So that's it. And hopefully we can move forward with that. I mean, I'm all about helping the next person to, you know, if they got to stand on my shoulders to get up there and then somebody else can stand on their shoulders to get up, as long as we move forward, that works for me. So
That's good. All right, my brothers and my sisters. Well, we'll see you back here prayerfully at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday and definitely next Thursday. And again, we're going to go ahead and start gearing up for what we know is going to be a season of a bunch of different things that's going to be coming up in November. So we're trying to do our best to make sure that we do all that we can to help prepare you, the listeners, for what's to come. Nothing but good things. That's what we're hoping for. We're hoping for good things to come up, especially in this holiday season. So until next week, God bless you. We love you. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
Good evening.
Night.